And I want to welcome you to the podcast for this week. On the I Want to Know More podcast this week, we're going back to the book of John, chapter number 4. John, chapter number 4. And this week, we're going to kind of stop and start as we read in the scripture for this week, because we're going to look at something a little different. Last week, we talked about how the Lord was weary with his journey. He was wearied with his journey. And we're going to read that again. And we're going to use that as the backdrop for how things go down. Okay? Verse number 5, John chapter number 4, the Bible says, "Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour." All right. We talked about this at length last week, and again, I am so thankful that we have a Lord who knows what it was like to be wearied with his journey. When you're weary with your journey, the Lord is there, and he knows. He knows what it's like to be weary in his journey, with his journey, rather. Wearied with his journey. It's about the sixth hour, so it's around noontime, heat of the day, and he's thirsty. "There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink." And he doesn't have anything. We're going to find out a little bit later. He doesn't have anything to draw with. The well's deep. He has no way. There's water right there. But it might as well not even be there, because he can't get to it. He needs someone to draw for him, or to give him a bucket to draw with. Now, this Samaritan woman, woman of Samaria, we're said, she comes, and she comes to this well in the middle of the day and to draw water. Now, we're going to find out why. I'm going to spoil it just a little bit. I'm going to talk about why first. She is not of the best reputations. The Lord tells her she's had 5 husbands. The one she's with is not her husband. And she has a bad reputation. And so rather than come when the crowds are there, she prefers to come in the heat of the day to draw water, to avoid the crowds, avoid the questions, avoid the stares, avoid the accusations, avoid all these things. She does not want to be around people. And she's waited until the middle of the day to do it. And this is a rough thing, you know. This is a rough thing. She's ashamed of her sin. Let's talk about that just for a moment. She's ashamed of her sin. There's hope for people who are ashamed of their sin. It's when somebody is no longer ashamed, that is, given over to a reprobate mind. When someone is no longer ashamed, then it becomes a problem. As long as people are ashamed of their sin, then there's a chance that the Lord can reach them. And she's ashamed. And the Lord's there when she needs him. He's there. We're not told how long he was there. We do know that he sent his disciples to get bread, and so they all went. He's by himself. And we don't know how long he's been there. But he's there. The well's there. He can hear the water at the bottom of the well. But he knows that there's a soul coming who's thirsty. She's wearied with her journey too. She's wearied with the idea of getting around people, see? Are you wearied of your sin? Are you wearied with your sin? Now, the Lord Jesus did no sin. Let's make that clear. But him being wearied with his journey and him being there at noon is what this lady needs. And so he's there, he's tired, he's visibly tired. And the lady comes, and she's ready to draw water. She's got the equipment. She's prepared to draw water. Little does she know, he's prepared to give water, just not physical water. He's prepared, even as weary as he is, he's prepared. And again, the weariness of his journey, plus the shamefulness of her situation, is the backdrop for this entire situation. She's ashamed of her sin. He is wearied with his journey, dealing with sinners. And they meet up at the right time, at the right place, and she is wearied with her sin. She's tired of answering questions. That's why she comes at midday. She's tired of the stares and hearing the talk. Yeah, she's had 5 husbands, and the one she's with won't even marry her, apparently. The others divorced her for whatever reason, and the one she's with won't even marry her. Now that's sad, isn't it? She is desolate in ways. Yeah, she's with a man, but he won't even marry her. And it's a rough situation for her. Let's make it clear. She's in a bad situation. She's in a very bad situation. Now, this man may be taking care of her just fine, but he's not married. He's not married to her. He's not her husband. Either he's not willing, or they haven't had time, or he's probably just not willing. He says, you've had all these divorces. How do I know you won't just up and leave me? And the divorces may have been, she may have left, or they may have divorced her. In that day and age, it was mostly the man divorcing the woman. It wasn't typical for the woman just to up and leave the man. That wasn't usually the case in those days. And so this fellow she's with now, he's not even married her. And that's a rough situation. Maybe she's worried that she's going to come to the marketplace and there's going to be people there and they're going to say, well, has he proposed yet? You betrothed yet? Why not? Is he afraid? Does he know something we don't? Consider. You know how people talk. You know how people spread things. In today's age, it's even worse with social media allowing things to be spread faster than the truth can be spread. The falsehoods always travel faster than the truth. Always. And when the truth does travel, people have already figured out what they want to believe, and they're not going to believe the truth if it goes against what they have said and they have believed already. And that's that's people is what it is. That's just people. That's the way people are. So now the woman, she's wearied. She's there at noontime. And here this man asks her to give him something to drink. Now, let's look at her response to that question. Well, there's a parenthetical. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. They were gone. He was alone. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, asketh drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Okay, this is the first thing she says to him. He says, give me some drink. She's got the equipment to draw water. And he's just saying, give me a drink of that water, please. And she's immediately on the defensive. She's immediately accusing him of something. Because she says, you're a Jew. Why are you talking to me? The Jews won't deal with the Samaritans. What's she saying? What is she really saying? Put yourself there in the situation. What is she really saying with that? She's basically saying, without using the words to say it, you know, I just wish you'd not talk to me. Just don't talk to me. Just hush. You Jews don't want to talk to us anyway. Why are you doing it? Why are you talking to me when the Jews don't want to talk to me? Instead of just simply saying, here, sure, I'll give you a drink of water. She's all defensive. That's her state of mind when she comes in now, mind you. That's the very first thing she says. Her state of mind is combative immediately. Now, people don't get that way spur of the moment. People get that way over a period of time. People get that way. Maybe the only people around the well at noontime are tourists. Maybe they're around there. Maybe there's Jews there, and they pass through when they know a bunch of Samaritans won't be there. And maybe she's had run-ins with the Jews before. And the Jews just simply say, Samaritan woman, what are you doing here? You're not supposed to be here at this time of day. No compassion, no empathy, no nothing. Now, that's the Bible does not tell us this. This is Lamarism, okay? This is oenology here. A little bit of speculation on my part about the backstory. Why does she immediately get defensive? There's got to be a reason. There's got to be a reason. And I don't think this is just said calmly either. I think she says this with sarcasm so thick you could cut it with a knife, I believe. She's being sarcastic. She's being just almost downright mean. And she feels like she's justified in that. And you know what? There's a lot of people out there. There's a lot of lost people out there, Christian, who are tired of holier-than-thou Christians looking down on them. Well, you Baptists won't have any dealings with us sinners. You Baptists won't have any dealings with us. Why are you talking to me? Christian, have you ever tried to talk to somebody who's lost and had them answer in that way? There's a reason. There's a reason why this woman is answering in the way she is. She's fed up. She's fed up with the Jews. She's fed up with her own people. She's fed up with her situation. She's fed up with sin. She probably wishes 1,000 times over that she had just married the right man to begin with and only had the one husband. Again, we're not told why. There's hundreds of reasons why she might have been divorced by her 5 previous husbands and why this 6th man won't even marry her. Now, 5 is the number of grace. She's overrun her grace in terms of being married, apparently. And 6 is the number of the flesh and of sin. And she is definitely living in sin. Definitely. And it's tough. Now, again, I'm not going to condemn her. Jesus doesn't condemn her, so I'm not going to condemn her. Jesus is going to be very patient with her. He's going to be very kind to her. And he is going to give her what she's really looking for. She's not really looking for physical water while she's there. Yeah, she's thirsty. Yeah, she needs to draw water for her household. Yeah, she needs to do all those things. But there's a hole in her heart. There's something gnawing at her heart. And it's been gnawing for a while, which is the only explanation for her being hateful at the very first thing she says to him. I just hear it. You're a Jew. Why are you talking to me? I just hear it. She's being hateful, sarcastic. She's got baggage. A lot of it. Now, when you're studying the interactions in Scripture, remember these are real people. This is not a parable. This is not a story. This is not a morality play. And I know the world would prefer it be. The world doesn't want it to be real, but it was real. Do we believe the Bible's real? Well, then this story is real. It's not made up. It's not a work of fiction. It really happened. And this lady, she comes out of the gate swinging when he dares to talk to her. I have to wonder, as she approached the well, she looked and says, "Ugh, there's a Jew there. Why do I have to deal with a Jew today? Of all days, this is noon, I'm already late. I've already got people at the house clamoring for water. My boyfriend, he wants water, and he doesn't understand how hard it is for me to get out early and for me to go get water. That's what the woman would have said in her heart, I believe. She says, why don't he come get the water? They don't look bad at him. They look good at him because he's got a woman. And there's a double standard there in this world. The double standard is men are expected to conquer, but conquered women are looked down upon. Men are expected by this world to have had some experience with women by the time they even think about getting married. I got news for you. The Bible's pretty clear that a man's first experience is to be with his wife after they're married. And the woman's first experience is to be with her husband after they're married. And that's the only experiences they're supposed to have is with their respective spouses. That's God's will. That's God's perfect will. But no, the world celebrates conquering men. Men who've been around the block a few times and have been with a lot of women. The world celebrates that. But then the world has some very select slurs to throw at women who have done the same. There's words that they're called, and they're very ugly words. A man wants to have a lot of women, but he wants his woman to only have had him. That's the way the world is now. That's the world. That's wrong. It's double standard. Men, keep yourself pure for your wife. Women, keep yourself pure for your husband. That is the perfect will of God. And the world doesn't like it. The world doesn't like to hear it. The world has set up all kinds of things to try to get young men and young women to violate that. And that causes strain in the marriage once the marriage has happened, because now the man is worried about how many partners his wife has had. The wife is worried about how many partners her husband has had. And it puts up a block between their mutual trusts, between trusting of each other. And it's the devil's design. The flesh goes along with it. It's the world's system. The world does not want marriages to succeed. The world does not want people to stay married to one person, because it's God's will, and the world hates the will of God. So the sixth man, type of the flesh, type of sin, this is exactly what the flesh would want to do. All right, if you can't stay married, then just be with somebody that you're not married to. Why bother with the wedding? Just live together, and then it's easier to go apart. And then you don't have to count that as a divorce, and you don't have to count that as one of your husbands. Is that not a crying shame? My heart goes out to this woman. It does. Because she is trapped by her system. The system that she lives in has trapped her in this vicious cycle. And it's vicious. It is. And it's so vicious, she has become vicious in it. And so her first words to Christ absolutely drip with hatred and sarcasm. She has seen it all. She is a cynic. C-Y-N-I-C, cynic. She's being cynical about it. She says, why are you talking to me? What's your agenda? What'd she have in mind? What was she thinking his agenda was? I don't know. He just wants something to drink. And she puts all this on it. But she lets him have it with both barrels. Have you ever looked at it that way? Honestly, I've never looked at it quite that deeply until I started studying it for the broadcast. And then it hit me. Man, this woman is giving him both barrels with this statement. What'd he do? He just asked for something to drink. What'd he do to deserve that? This was building up in her. And because he was a stranger to her, she wasn't constrained in her words to where she felt like she could just let him have it with both barrels. And buddy, she was ranting. She was in rare form pushing out at it. And you know, the world today, especially in these United States, lost people have heard so much of the gospel. They've also seen so many so-called Christians fall. I say so-called. Maybe they're born again. But when you fall, Christian, when you do something that you have maybe even spoken against, if you're a preacher, maybe you preached against it, and then you end up doing the very thing you preached against, or spoke against, or sung against, or told somebody else against, when the very thing happens to you that you've been so vocal about, and the lost person sees it, that's fuel for their fire. It's like throwing gasoline on a fire. It blows up, explodes into a fireball, and they're ready to eat all that up because that justifies them. That gives them justification for continuing to do what they're doing. That gives them justification. I wonder how many Jews had been around, and that woman, and somebody told them, says, yeah, that woman's been married 5 times. Well, why would you do that? What's wrong with you? I can just hear somebody saying that. If a woman's had 5 husbands in that day and age, they would assume, well, what's wrong with you? Can you not have children? Is there something else going on? Is something not right with you physically? People can be so cruel, you know. People can be absolutely cruel. I wonder how many Jews have been cruel to this woman before Jesus was there. I wonder. I just wonder how many people have been cruel to her. Somebody must have. Why would she respond in this way to Christ if somebody had never been cruel to her? Why would she respond with such sarcasm dripping off of her words if something hadn't been said to her in times past? I have to wonder. I just wonder. I wonder what it was like for her living there in Sychar and all these things happening. And now she's at the well in the middle of the day to try to avoid people. Oh my. And she's done a pretty good job of avoiding people up until now. And now she's met the master and she's met her match. Oh my. Oh my. And I want to thank you for listening to the podcast for this week. I Want to Know More is a podcast ministry of Brother Lamar Owen. I'm out of the Macedonia Baptist Church located in the Silverstein community of Transylvania County. To correspond with me, please email broadcast@lamarowen.net. Again, that's broadcast@lamarowen.net. And join us here again next week for I Want to Know More.